Welcome. My name is Adam Beeler, head of institutional sales at Angel Oak Capital Advisors. Angel Oak currently manages approximately $16.5 billion of assets across public, private, and separately managed accounts, as well as permanent capital vehicles. Angel Oak has been investing in residential mortgages since the firm's founding in 2008 and has become an active lender of non-QM or non-agency mortgages since 2013. The firm has invested in over 36,000 mortgages on behalf of institutional investors with virtually no credit losses. Angel Oak has been a consistent issuer of securitizations on the AOMT shelf, backed by non-qualified mortgages since 2016, and has retained bonds from these transactions and strategies managed by the firm for investors. Angel Oak Capital Advisors continues to build upon our success in our insurance solutions platform, and today we'd like to have an informative discussion centered around the ongoing demand from insurance companies wanting to add residential loans to their investment thesis or their investment portfolios. Today's discussion is meant to be educational and hopefully thought-provoking. At Angel Oak, we've taken a consultative service approach to our insurance solutions business and offer direct partnerships with our seasoned mortgage originator, Angel Oak Mortgage Solutions, coupled with the asset management firm, Angel Oak Capital Advisors. We feel this holistic solution in partnership with our insurance company clients offers the most compelling offering for companies wanting to access mortgage credit. I'm very pleased today to welcome our guests, Samuel Jones, Senior Director, and Dan Ballone, Vice President at SS&C. And Manish Valecha, Head of Client Solutions at Angel Oak Capital Advisors. Gentlemen, thank you for your time today. I'm eager to get started. If you could please introduce yourself. Sam, we'll go with you first.
Hi, I'm Sam Jones. I'm the Senior Director for Statutory Reporting for SS&C. We provide quarterly and annual statutory preparation for our insurance clients, whether it's life, health, property, casualty, title. We also do quality control reviews for clients who want their financial statements reviewed. And we can also do risk-based capital projections as they relate to when you want to forecast having resi loans in your portfolio for a client.
Thank you, Sam. Dan?
Hi, everyone. Dan Pallone here, VP of Loan Solutions at SS&C. SS&C is a global fintech software and services firm. And within this loan solutions area, we provide loan administration services for all types of mortgages, but especially residential mortgages. And we have clients that are insurance, clients that are banks, clients that are real estate investment trusts, and clients that are private funds.
Thank you, Dan. Manish?
Sure. Thanks, Adam. Manish Valecha. So I head up client solutions at Angel Oak, and I've been at the firm since 2016. And my role really is working with institutional investors on finding the right structures, the right investment vehicles to access everything Angel Oak has to offer across our credit platform. And looking forward to the discussion today. And as you sort of alluded to, Adam, the last 12 to 24 months, I've been spending a lot of my time with insurance companies.
That's great. Thanks. And I'm going to jump right into it. Dan, I'm going to go to you first. Could you walk us through the SS&C Technology Solutions history with specific attention to the insurance solutions business you guys have built?
Sure, Adam. Well, SS&C was founded in 1986, and it was really started with one piece of software dedicated to insurance investment accounting. So over the years since 1986, we have expanded our solutions and services mainly through acquisitions at SS&C, but have now covered the entire life cycle of a transaction. And that includes everything from the trade capture to middle office and back office services, to accounting, to regulatory, to risk, and all aspects of reporting for investment solutions, particularly tailored for the insurance business in addition to other businesses and other types of industries.
So I guess, is it fair to say that there's been interest from insurance company clients and prospects over the past several years, perhaps more lately, onboarding resi loans? This is really first question. And second question, perhaps you could talk a little bit about the questions insurance companies have of buying RMBS versus buying loans. Like, how is this going to be looking on this platform?
Yes, I would say we're definitely seeing interest across our clients, insurance clients and private fund clients, to increase their asset allocations into the residential mortgage space. Traditionally, we had commercial real estate mortgages as the asset class of the insurance companies, and now diversifying into residential. The second question, Adam, is the way I would equate an RMBS to residential mortgages is, let's start with the acquisition of the actual loans. An RMBS lingo would be trade, a purchase. In this case, it's still a purchase, but the underlying information comes in the form of a loan tape. So if you had $100 million, for example, that could represent 200 individual mortgage line items of $500,000 each. Instead of a trade ticket, you're going to process a loan tape that's going to have 200 individual loans on it. The security master is contained in that loan tape, where in an RMBS bond, you can go to Bloomberg and look up the security master for that bond. So those are the main differences now at purchase and then throughout the life cycle. All the life cycle events on that RMBS versus the mortgage. You're going to be dealing with a primary servicer, and that primary servicer is going to generate what are called remittance files. And that's so the payments that are being received from the mortgage holders, those can be P&I payments, tax, insurance, escrow payments, prepayments, curtailments, loan modifications, and any changes in interest rates in terms of indices if it's an adjustable rate mortgage. So that information would be received from your servicer and processed. So those are the main differences between RMBS and a portfolio of whole loans.
And Manish, yeah, we've obviously, and I alluded to this earlier on in the podcast here, we spent an enormous amount of time, energy, and resources of dedicating our firm to this space, specifically loans with insurance companies. It's a space that we're going to continue to invest in and partner with insurance companies. Maybe you could provide a brief update on what is this collateral? What are the collateral characteristics? These programs and perhaps new stuff that we're thinking about, new loan programs.
Yeah, sure, Adam. So when you think about non-QM and non-agency, I can sort of speak for our origination profile. And I'd say a lot of this sort of extends more broadly to the overall market. But coming out of the GFC, you really saw a lack of credit availability for self-employed small business owners. And those folks, you sort of need to look at alternative income documentation to underwrite. And we call that our bank statement program. And that's about 50 to 60% of what we do today. As a complement to that, we also originate loans to landlords. So these are loans backed by investment properties, and that's our investor cash flow program, which makes up, call it 30 to 35% of what we do today. And then there's some odds and ends that sort of round out our origination. But, you know, on average, it's about a 750 FICO score, a 68, 69% LTV. The rates have generally been anywhere from 150 to 200 basis points above agency conforming rates. So today we're close to about 8.25. Obviously, this is on a loss adjusted basis. And so this makes it attractive yield for institutions and insurance companies to hold given the capital charges. So I think you sort of mentioned what's new and what's interesting. I'd say from our perspective, and I think the market generally agrees, there's a tremendous opportunity around second liens today. There's a couple of reasons here. One is we've got 90% of America locked into a mortgage below 4% and an LTV below 80%. So that locked-in effect kind of creates that demand for a second lien mortgage when you don't want to get rid of that first lien at a very low rate. And then you've got significant home price appreciation. So a lot of equity that's been built up over the past few years. Homeowners want to be able to tap that equity. You can sort of think about it as a homeowner that wants to renovate, put in a new kitchen, essentially use that cash flow from the equity. And so a second lien market is definitely a huge opportunity set, and we're definitely looking at it in a responsible way. So taking a 30, 40% LTV up to a 70, 75 LTV for a very high FICO borrower. So that's kind of a flavor of what we're doing today and what we're looking to do moving forward in the second lien space.
It's interesting. You know, our two firms do an enormous amount of work with insurance companies, talking to insurance companies, and there's several moving parts. And why we're excited to be partnered with SS&C as really this technology solution provider. But there's lots of other things that come into play. There's risk-based capital. There's pulling together all of this data. What does it look like for risk-based capital reporting, specifically with loans? And I also know that SS&C has done a lot of work around intelligent automation. So, Sam, I know that was a lot of questions all wrapped up in a couple of sentences, but perhaps you could talk a little bit about the risk-based capital, talk a little bit about what SS&C and how dedicated they are to this intelligent automation, and what does that mean?
From our shop, what we could do is help provide to a client forecasting how much they want to go with the resis and project it on the RBC and see how it affects, at the end of the day, are they still above threshold for a total adjusted capital? We can give direction to that. And obviously, the higher you're above that ACL, the more you can put into that specific purchase. So again, from my end, that's what we do. We take the financial financials, and then we can analyze it. We can forecast it back to how they want to purchase.
And that really goes into this intelligent automation, how it does translate into the effectiveness, the efficiencies, these automated solutions that once they're set, they become sort of part of the DNA of the overall culture, the reporting, everything. And so it's just really interesting to see the amount of dedication that you guys are putting behind this intelligent automation. So Dan, perhaps you could expand a little bit more on the intelligent automation and how that really translates into the effectiveness, the efficiencies, the automated solutions, and why your insurance company clients are finding this attractive.
We have, over the years, expanded the usage of intelligent automation in this space. So what does that mean? I can recall when I started with SS&C 10 years ago, we would be processing remittance files on a very manual basis, receiving PDF files. Today, we deploy digital workers to download information, to use OCR to scrape that data off of PDFs, or we go right to APIs with our counterparties in terms of our third-party servicers. But that enables much faster straight-through processing of data that's very unstructured and creates structure. It creates checks and balances on the data. We can put artificial intelligence around those numbers, look for outliers that look like anomalies or fat-fingered numbers. So we're using intelligent automation to improve the straight-through processing of that data, checking the data for reasonableness, and making the human intervention more on an exception basis as opposed to a processing manual entry perspective.
I'll throw this out to the group. Why do you think there is such interest in new issue residential loans from insurance companies?
Well, I think historically insurance companies have looked to investment grade corporate credit and commercial real estate as two big areas of allocations. Residential credit hasn't traditionally been a large part of the investment program. And I think more recently, given the positive trends from a housing perspective, it's been fairly well documented, the supply or shortage of supply in U.S. housing. And that obviously has been coupled with low levels of unemployment. And then coming out of the GFC, the lack of mortgage credit availability to this cohort of borrowers, particularly self-employed small business owners and for investment properties as well, all those reasons have, from a fundamental perspective, made it a very attractive asset class. And then when you throw in the potential benefits from a diversification perspective and the capital treatment, obviously the low capital charges on the collateral, along with the ability to pledge the assets to the FHLB, a combination of all those factors, I think, have made it attractive for insurance companies to allocate capital to the sector.
I'll throw in too, when you look at the risk-based capital perspective, and especially for life companies, they changed within the last year the percentage that will get applied to the RBC factor. It's down to 68 BPS. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but compared to when a property casualty or health company would have to do, it's 5%. So it is significant to take a look at this from a life company that, hey, it's a good investment side to come in at. And again, as I was talking about before, especially if you're at a good threshold on your capital to authorized control level capital, it's something worth looking into. And for lack of a better term, bulk up on. So I see a lot of upside for a life company to do it, no question.
And I would just add, from an operations perspective, there's been much more standardization across the residential mortgage space ever since 2008. And that has lended itself, with the advances in technology, to be able to process these loans on a much faster and more standard straight through approach.
No, that's great. Sam, is there something that you think we should bring up that we haven't discussed already?
From my shop, I think we covered what we really do. Again, we analyze, we give some guidance on the what ifs in the world, but we also, again, are there to do the statutory reporting if a client wanted it. That's our role within SS&C.
Dan, is there something else specifically you think would be good to cover?
I would just add that loan administration, whether it's done by the investor in the loans or by a third party, is important for a number of reasons. One is to keep these servicers honest, and what that means is independently verifying the calculations, the principal, the interest, the escrow amounts. The second thing is making sure your cash is reconciled like any investment portfolio, and that's a critical component. Third thing is making sure you have market values that are updated, and all of that comes together with either a robust back office, middle office, or a third party loan administrator. And then coupled with that, all the regulatory and NRBC components that should be all part of the loan administration process.
That's a really good point. And Manish, I'd like to think that, as I alluded to earlier, 36,000 different loans, virtually no credit losses. Maybe go into a little bit of what is the competitive differentiator
of Angel Oak with our insurance company offering?
I think first and foremost, it's really our in-house origination model where we have the ability to source collateral, essentially that we manufacture in-house through our wholesale mortgage originator, Angel Oak Mortgage Solutions. We think there's obviously a lot of benefits to that model. And we also have the ability to source loans externally through third parties based on what's going on in the market and what's available. So, you know, not being subject to one sourcing mechanism and being held captive to one way to source loans is a huge advantage. I think related to that as well is our geographic diversification. So we have the ability to source loans outside of California. You know, we've often heard from clients that some of our competitors have as much as 40 to 70% of their collateral coming from California. And we think at that level, you know, you sort of have a lot of idiosyncratic risk as opposed to taking the broader housing market risk that we all think makes sense in this environment.
So those two aspects, our ability to securitize and source financing through capital markets, our AOMT shelf is widely regarded as a benchmark shelf in the non-agency, non-QM space. And we've executed over 45 securitizations. So when it makes sense, when it's attractive, we give clients the ability to securitize and get liquidity on loans. Lastly, from a client service perspective for insurance companies in particular, we take a holistic approach. So we're flexible and can customize mandates. And you know, our goal really is to have the insurance company use us as an outsourced manager on the resi side. We have a team of 15 associates in India working for us with regard to providing reporting and monitoring on a residential loan portfolio that we think is critical. So I'd say all those aspects, Adam, are competitive differentiators from our view.
And we have, since 2013, also improved the system as we continue to grow. I mean, the amount of time, energy, and effort that's been on the data science side and honing in the models and not losing any credit characteristics. And this is a growth curve business. The volume of securitized product in non-QM should be at 2001, 2002 levels, perhaps, you know, $300, $400 billion a year. And we're not close to that this time. So we continue to listen to our insurance company clients, trying to be as helpful as possible. And I do feel as though this is becoming more and more talked about. I mean, when you're looking at insurance company balance sheets and it's anywhere between 0 and 5% allocation to this asset class, you know, there's certainly room to grow. And there have been some very large private equity backed insurance companies that have been doing this for quite some time. And so what we have tried to do and we'll continue to do is be that solution provider.
And again, our partnership with SS&C and providing this sort of holistic solution or holistic total solution is something we're encouraged and excited about. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it and we appreciate the partnership.
Thank you.
The views expressed represent the opinion of Angel Oak Capital Advisors, which are subject to change and are not intended as a forecast or guarantee of future results. Stated information is derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources which have not been independently verified for accuracy or completeness. While Angel Oak Capital Advisors believes the information to be accurate and reliable, we do not claim or have responsibility for its completeness, accuracy, or reliability. Statements of future expectations, estimates, projections, and other forward-looking statements are based on available information and management's view as of the time of these statements. Accordingly, such statements are inherently speculative as they are based on assumptions which may involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties. Actual results, performance, or events may differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements. All investing involves risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that investment objectives will be attained. Results may vary. There is no guarantee that risk can be managed successfully. This document does not constitute advice or recommendation or offer to sell or a solicitation to deal in any security or financial product. It is provided for informational purposes only and on the understanding that the recipient has sufficient knowledge and experience to be able to understand and make their own evaluation of the proposals and services described herein. Any risks associated therewith and any related legal, tax, accounting, or other material considerations. To the extent that the reader has any questions regarding the applicability of any specific issue discussed above to their specific portfolio or situation, prospective investors are encouraged to contact Angel Oak Capital Advisors or consult with a professional advisor of their choosing. There is no guarantee that the investment objectives will be achieved. Moreover, the past performance is not a guarantee or indicator of future results.